Shalom Yisrael. We do greet you in the mighty name of Yahweh, in the precious Tikvah, the hope of Yahshua HaMashiach, the Lamb of Yisrael. Here's a dynamic message of Torah teaching and revelation of the power of Yahshua HaMashiach. May your heart delight in this truth in Yahshua's mighty name.
Lord, lift your hands. Glory to Yahweh, Yahshua. Come on, hallelujah. Come on and praise Him, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Voiced by the excellence of your Ru'ah, O Mariam. For you declare where two or three are gathered. In the name of Almighty Yahweh, in the power of Yahshua the Lamb, you shall always be in the midst. And so we gather in the only name, Yahweh, whereby the only name where there is salvation, Yahshua, to Sharrah, to worship, to esteem your name highly, for your magnificent an excellent power, for you alone stands mighty and supreme. You shall not share that honor with no gods, for it is Yahweh that is excellent. There is no other like Him, not Shatan, Molech, Belel, Pora, Beel, Lords, gods, for there is none other like Yahweh. For you are the sovereign, supreme master of all. For it's in the power of your word that we exist and were created. In the power of your image of truth, which is Yahshua the Ben Adam, given unto man to redeem him from the depths of the darkness of sin. And for that we shall brak you this day. We shall take heed to your living truth and obey it with a burning fervor down in the inward parts. We ask it all in the precious, most powerful, most wonderful name, Yahshua the Lamb. We barak you. Yisrael cried hallelujah. 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 Look to your neighbor and say, my friend, it is important to have the Ruach of Yah to hear this day. Shalom unto you. Yah barak you. You may be seated. For He has given us the blessed assurance, and our assurance is in the revelation of His imat, His truth, His order, His mishrah, His government, to bring man to a place whereby he can truly, as we express, worship Sharrah, worship Him in the power of His Ruach, His truth, His spirit, and in truth. And so He brings us, Yisrael, to this occasion. And we must hear what He commands us and speaks unto us. This is a generation that their hearing has become dull. They do not like to listen. They have no time to hear what Yah speaks. But they can hear every kind of vile, corrupt thing that flow from their bellies and cause them to have disdain or disregard for the word of Yah. They will not consider what He has commanded us. But they go about orchestrating or developing their own path. And it leads them to the gutters of hell. But their minds are hellish. Their thoughts, they're weak. They have not the strength of Yahshua. For they have eaten off the table of Shaitan. And they become less effective. They are ineffective. And so that's what we have today in these whorehouses today. They are houses of whoredom because the Worship is one of idolatry. It is idolatrous. And when we find that Yah, when He uses the word in Scripture, whoredom, whoresh, fornication, adulterous and adulteress, He is dealing with a form of idolatry. I will speak to you today, Israel, and I will tell you what idolatry is. We may think that it is bowing down to a bull or some imminent place. It is any time the mind is removed away from the Torah, the Mishrah, of Yah's way that leads unto His pathway. So any time that your mind is not developed and shaped by what Yah commands you, it is a form of idolatry. And that is what is taking place in the midst of this pagan cauldron of whoredom, what we call Christianity and religion, because it defies the instructions of Almighty Yah. And within the motivation of the love of you being self-motivated, it is that spirit that flows from the gutterness of your own guts, the god of your belly, that causes you to forsake the right way, and you go after the way of Bezorah, of Balaam, for the rewards of your own corrupt flesh. And the rewards are temporal, for they shall not last. For the word of Yah tells me that, and I believe that. Why do you believe it? I believe this. Let Yahweh be truth, imatz. And let every man be a liar. And if a man speaks not from the principles of his truth, he is a liar. He has not the ruach of Yah. So he must speak from the chronicle of the pages of the book. He must speak from that. And his words cannot be words of flattery, superficial, to entertain your flesh. But they must cut and they must pierce. It must draw out every corrupt thing, the dross, that it may surface, that you may see your own filthiness. We have the ability to see others' filthiness, don't we? We all do that well. Do you think that Yah consider any one of us in here any better than the other? Or are those any better? That's why what Scripture says, be slow to answer and quick to speak. Hallelujah. Are there those that are better than others? Does the book express that? Sure it does. Yes, it does. And that's a fact. I want to continue. We will get to that. The reason we don't know things, if we truly had the full context of the scroll, it would probably be a book this thick. That thick. Maybe. I would think probably from the floor here. That is why when Shaul says to Timothy, study, study. He knew that the power of that impartation of that truth of Yah is not going to come with a few minutes of reading. It must be developed by a devotion at a time that you allow nothing to circumvent that time. Not will, family, friends, or foes. Nothing. So he commanded unto the young man Timotheus, study to show yourself approved unto Yah as a workman. The summertime will exhibit a form of workman around here this year. More so in the years of past. And in the summertime, a workman, his day is never finished. Even when he goes home to rest, his day is not done. Because his mind is immediately on the things that were left unfinished. And the thing that when he finished that portion, he has to go back and revisit the thing that he has done previous to that. And that is why there must be a mind that studies the Word of Yah. We are ignorant because we lack the deny the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. And yet we all think we know, do we not? That's why Yah ordained in His house elements of order that they will bring us to the perfect understanding of Torah. And we need every aspect of that operating in His bayat today. I want to continue from last week. It is one thing that as I began a message, and I see much that I lack in the previous one, because I will go back and revisit. And that will be a constant. I will always miss a lot of things that are pertinent and relevant to our growth. But it behooves you to go back and to make sure that the things are accurate. Because you are sluggish and slothful. This is a sluggish generation. It's one that is slothful. Elder Bynum said to me, Pastor Roberts, I couldn't understand why you would always say this is a wicked generation. And he said to me yesterday as we talk, I'm beginning to understand why. A generation, a people that defies the Torah of Yahweh is a wicked people. Their minds are being captivated by the father of their birth, which is Shatan, and they are not birthed by the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah. This is a vile, indignant generation. It despises the commands, the instructions of Almighty Yahweh. And as Yochanan sitting there on the Isle of Patmos, and Yah began to move him into this profound revelation of Yahshua, the true identity of his power, and what he shall reveal unto the assemblies, whereby the Ruach of the Spirit of Yah was in the midst. Because they came to Sharrah to worship Yah in the power of the Torah, and they received the witness of the revelation, Yahshua the Lamb. And they knew that the witness was true. And it was right. And he says unto him, as he said unto the Melech, Yochanan says in Giliana Revelation, chapter 14, verse 6. He says, and I spiritually saw another Melech fly in the midst of Hashemayim, the heavens. And he said that this one having the everlasting, the Olim, the everlasting message to Kara, to preach, to declare unto the assemblies of Israel the expectations of Almighty Yahweh. He says, not only to them, but to them that dwell in the Olim, in the earth. And he did not say just to Israel. He said to every nation. Because the remnant of the seed of Israel, they are scattered abroad into every nation. And they speak every kind of dialect and every kind of tongue it is. He said to every kindred, because they have intermingled against the will of Yah, they have gone and joined themselves unto strangers of the commonwealth of Israel, and they have produced kindreds and those of other tongues that were not of the birthright seed of Yivraham. That's why he commanded them, do not go and join yourselves unto strange women and strange men. More or less, strange women. Do not do that. Because if you do that, you're going to begin to pollute my house. How can he say that? Because he is all sovereign. He is not going to allow anyone to exalt themselves to the pinnacle he is. That is why this damnable thing we call Christianity. You see, everyone wants to have their own mind. Everyone wants to have their own path and their own direction. That is why Yah says when Adam and Shavah sinned, he cast them out. For they cannot live in the spiritual realm that he lived in because they were eaten from the tree of life. And he will not allow them to abide in the midst of his fellowship face to face. And so what this vile, wicked thing tells people today, well, you are gods. And that's what the God of this world said, I will exalt myself above the Almighty One. You're not going to be exalted like him. That's why there are things that pertain unto him. He said, don't mess with vengeance. He said, my jealousy is like no other jealousy. That trash you call jealousy is not even jealousy. Wrath, his anger. For your anger works not the Shadikah of Yah. And so there are things that he said, they're mine. They're mine. And you will not interfere with these things that I've set apart for me personally that I shall deal with. Your mind is too small to even understand. You don't even have the breath in you to even realize what I'm doing. What is man? That he would even be mindful of a flesh pot of stench, putrefied with every kind of vile odor. What is man that he would even consider him, that he would be mindful of him? And so this message must be declared to all nations, to all kindreds, and to all people. And it begins with the Yareh, or the fear of Yah. It also exudes the honor of the Kabod of Almighty Yah. Why? Because the hour, or his hour, or mishpat, or judgment, has come. We must shahar, sharah, shakar. We must shahar, yah. Because he made the shemayams, he made the olam, he made the sea, and the fountains of the water. We must bestow upon him this copious honor. It is great. It is beyond expressions. It is beyond verbalizing. And the way we do that is obeying all that he commands. You don't honor him when the light of truth shines forth. And you disregard that. You are a liar. When Yah speaks to you, you parents, can I ask you all something? You raised children, did you not? When you told them or commanded them to do something, was there some other alternative for that? Or you meant what you said? You meant that. Did they cause you to become perturbed, angry when they went some other direction? You meant what you said. And for some reason we think that Yah, we call Yahweh a liar. He said, let me be true. Do you all hear that? He said, I want to be true and let everyone else be a liar. I don't care what emotional adjustments they make to try to alter what I say. He said, let them be a liar. But let me be the truth. Let what I say resonate from you. Let the witness of Yahshua resonate from you. And you will know that you are Hava, you love me, because you do all that I command you. We are liars. When we understand the simplicity of truth, we don't obey that and we say we love him. You are a flat-out liar. You are of your father, the devil. He did not abide in Emet, in the Torah, from the beginning. He knows not the truth, and you do not walk in the truth as well. Did Yahshua command us that we must live by some of the words? How many? How many? You Jezebels, you don't have to open your mouths. He said, how many words? Every word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Yah. How do I find it? You must go back to the Bereshit. You must go back to the Genesis of all things. And for us to say, when we hear the words, he commands you not to harden your wicked heart, as in the days that they provoked at him. So we harden ourselves, don't we? Oh, you tell me you don't get hardened against the word of Yah? You don't get hardened at correction when Yah speaks to you? This is a generation of imposters. They're not brutally honest. They're so false. You can look at them and tell the falseness of the expression. That's why Yahshua had to ordain men to stand over the heritage of Almighty Yahweh. He had to do it that way. Because if he had none of it, it would be a mess. How do you know? Look at the mess you are. That's a mess, isn't it? That speaks for itself, doesn't it? Sure it does. He said, so this bizorach, this message shall be declared unto all nations and tongues. You shall declare unto them this power of the Yareh, the fear of Yah. And they shall know how to kabod Yah, to honor Him. Copious, with great, great abundance. As their mouth speaks, as a loud ring of the songs of His great healing power, how they honor Him. We don't even know how to do that, Israel. I began to search last week. I know I go here and there. I do that. I began to look at things what Yah commands Israel to do when they come before Him. You see, my mind thinks like that. Because I want to know what I do when I come before Him. Is the book precise on that? As precise as it can be. Is it forthright on that? As forthright as one could ever comprehend. The reason we don't know, because there is not a burning ahava, a love for the revelation of truth. Our hearts do not pant after the word of Yah as a deer pants for the water brook. The brothers that hunt, they can tell you it's one thing that a deer will do when they understand even in dry season. They have the ability, their senses are very much keener than human beings. And they can come to a spot and they know that there's water there. And what they will do, they will begin to take a hoof and they began to dig down until they can find the trickle of the flow of water. We as a nation and a people, we don't dig down in the depths of the corruption of this fleshly heart to find that flow of polluted water and that stream that flow from the gutterness of our wickedness. You don't have to say hallelujah. You don't have to say oh man. But this is what fills me to cause me to press on to the higher depths. You understand, I like to go higher. Sure I do. I like to walk on the high grounds. Because on the high grounds you can see everything below. Nothing passes your observation. Nothing at all. Can I share this with you? There is a young autistic boy. Other day I was reading. They took him to Rome. And he flew over Rome. Do you all hear me? He flew over the city of Rome. He drew the city precisely, even to columns of the buildings on the Colosseum, everything. He drew it precisely. Every building, every tree, every single thing in that city. He flew him over and he drew it precisely. Now, to understand that an autistic, a mental, twisted mind can do that, then if we had the true mind of HaMashiach, then we could retain the word of Yah, because the minds we have, they are corrupt. The reason they are corrupt, because they will not be governed by the Mishra of Yah. We will not hear what the Ruach says. Oh, I'm not impressed with the boy's drawing and what he drew. I know that the mind of HaMashiach is greater than that. And this is a mind that is twisted. That the young lad cannot even think that even the expressions on his face are torted or twisted. And it's the same thing in Israel. We are a twisted people. We twist, we wrestle, we twist the scripture. And we try to conform them to our own lying, deceitful ways to say that we can justify our own damnable, wicked thoughts. It cannot work that way. And it will not work. And Yah is not going to allow it. And that's why there are men that are better than other men. And there are daughters of Zion that are better than others. Does the book say that you will? I will get to that Whether you buy it or not, it makes no difference at all. First of all, you don't study enough to know it. You don't know what the book says because it doesn't please you. We're angry because we cannot hear what the Ruach speaks unto Israel. His people are destroyed because they have much knowledge. When something is lacking, then you know that it is not healthy. Is that not right? If your body is lacking certain nutrients, is it the most healthiest body? No, it's not. It doesn't perform well. It doesn't respond well. Your mind doesn't think well. This mess of cholesterol, all this fat tissue, this glob of mess here, but yet Yah imparted something in it. He made it think. He caused it to gravitate to Him. That's all it is. Hallelujah. And we're fat. And yet it thinks. Yet it can talk with Him and to Him. Hallelujah. But it must be governed by Him. Must be governed by Him. If it's not governed by Him, then we're going to go the way of darkness. Because everything that will come out of you will be dark. When you defy the Torah and the teachings of Yah without any thoughts of impunity, you are wicked. And this is a generation that does that. They justify their own wickedness. Woe unto them, they call Tav evil, an evil Tav. They put sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. They say to the wicked, you are blessed. And they say to the righteous, to hell with you. That's a wicked, twisted mindset. I was telling Elder Martin this morning that we had, when I was with Evangelist Hartsfield, he was a strong man. We had a brother there that his wife, she kind of ruled him. And he said to me, Pastor Robert, he said, Brother Robert, I'm going to put him out. Because that kind of spirit among the fellowship, I will show you that as well in the book. That's why your wives, you honor your husband, you kabod. Kabod. And you husbands, you love them. Well, how do you become that lovable wife that he can love you like the assembly? That you abide in the principles of Yah. So she ruled over him, and he would say things that she would say. And he would come to me and say, Brother Roberts, I'm troubled by him. And the matter of fact, I'm going to put him out. I don't even want him to testify. I don't want him to say nothing because that spirit corrupts many. Well, I don't believe that. Let us go to the book. That's why the everlasting, the Ule message must be preached, brothers and sisters. It has to be declared. Because Yah is going to rid out everything that is not of him. He's going to take it out. Everything that offends him. It says in Gilead, Revelation, chapter 14, verse 8. Now, I want to deal with the aspect of the Mishpatim of Yah, but I want to point something out here. Revelation 14, 8. As Yochanan began to see the downfall of Babylon, or Babel, we must understand that the word Babel, Babylon, it means the gateway to the gods. Now, I understand that when Nimrod began to build the tower, we have this revelation or this meaning meaning the confusion. But it was the gateway to the gods. It was the pathway that leads to the gods. Is this a nation that leads to the gods? Does this nation, is this the way to the gods? It is to the gods of greed and lust and rebelliousness. It is to the gods of dishonor and self-worth and self-gratification, is it not? And so we can understand that that is complicit. Babylon, the meeting sounds, it sounds as though that there's an attachment there. To me it does. So it's the gateway or the way to the God. It is the gateway to the gods. And so as Yah began to reveal unto Yochanan, there's a judgment that shall come upon Babel. He speaks here in the 8th verse. He says, and there followed another Melech, saying, Babylon, Babel, is falling. She is fallen. It calls her a great city. Why? Now this is what I do want to express today. And then I will get back to the judgment of Babylon on next Shabbat. She has fallen. Listen, my brothers and sisters. This is profound what I'm about to read to you. Because she made some nations, she made all nations. She made all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her zonah, her fornication, her idolatrous worship, her vile, abominable, idolatrous worship that defies the worship of Almighty Yah. Now that is what that fornicating spirit does. It causes one to be turned away from Yah's principles. She calls all nations. And I will show you how mothers cause daughters, avats cause sons and homes to be moved away from the power of the legitimacy of the truth of Yah. And not only are they brought under the curse of that, but their children, their sons and daughters will never produce the fruit of Yah. Yah's not playing. He is not. That's what Israel did. She opened up drawer legs to every kind of strange god, and every god went up in her. There are women that do that today. Every man they meet, they will lay down in bed. It is a metaphor of the symptom of today. That's why the women are hoarse and babies dropping out like dogs. I don't take one word back, because their mammies and their mammies went that way. Hallelujah. Only if Yah has a seed. Hallelujah. I bless him for bringing me out of what he brought me up in. He had his hands on me. Before I ever formed in my mother's womb, he birthed me. He caused a normie to get naked, did he not? And walk before the people. And they look in the Yeshkel and say, what a fool. It was their own filthiness of their nakedness. The shame of the defiance of Yah. The filthiness. And that's why daughters of Zion, you true daughters. Everyone is not a daughter. You do what Yah commands you. That you may bring your sons and daughters up in the fear, the Yare of Yah. That their minds will be stable and sound. I can only show you what's in the book. You can get upset all you want to, but it's still factual. It is still actual. You don't have to like it because that's you. And you have defied that. But it's in the book. And I will not alter one thing at all for any one of us in here. I would have begun in 2 Chronicles, 2 Dibri HaYahim. 2 Chronicles, chapter 21 and verse 4. I need to lay down a little something here that you may understand this wrath of the fornication that the nations from Babel have been caused to drink. And that's why I said to us other morning, Yah must have strong men in the midst of the congregation. If a man is going to be around me, he's going to be strong. I don't want no weak, effeminate man around me. I like strong men. I like men. I want a man around me. Not a weak, effeminate man. So if he hangs around me, he's going to be strong. He's going to have the fortitude of Yahshua HaMashiach. But this is what it says. I want to show you something here as I take you along. 2 Chronicles in chapter 21, verse 4. Now, what this is dealing with, is dealing with one by the name of Jehoram, or we will say Jehoram. And he was the king of Israel. Now, I don't want to read all the scriptures, so I want to give you a little history on this. Now, he was the king himself of Yehuda for some period of time, about 18 years. The number is there, but he was a king of Yehuda. Now, chapter 21, verse 4, I'm not going to read all the verses. And his wife, her name was Athaliah. And she was the wicked Jezebel. She was a wicked woman. How do I know that? I will show you where her seed line began, where her birth came out of, and you will understand the wickedness that was created in him, that he defied the Torah of Yah. Now let me read. That's why the message of this truth must be declared. First of all, Yare. If a man doesn't Yare Yah, he's a weak thing. If a woman doesn't Yare Yah for him, she's not even a Jezebel. Sister Hunter's her daughter. And so, the daughter has been going to the internet and listen to the broadcasts. She says to her mother, I've been listening to Pastor Robert. She's been listening for a period of time. Well, they know she says that, but it's like, okay. And she says to her mother, I want to write Pastor Robert, but I'm afraid. I want to see him, but I'm afraid to see him. So she tells her, well, write him on the internet. Email him. She says, Mama, if I'm afraid to write him a letter, you know I'm afraid to write him email. So I tell Sister Roberts, you tell her to tell the daughter, come see me. And I will intrigue her. Because what does she fear? For the fear of the word of Yah is the beginning of wisdom. When a man doesn't fear what Yah says, he's a weak thing. When a woman doesn't fear what Yah says, they're devilish and they're hellish. The fear of Yah. The fear. What she fears is not me personally as a man. Come on. Women will, come on, they will rise up in the strength of the femininity. She fears the words that come out of the mouth of this man. They're fearful. They identifies her. They shows her things about her that causes her to fear the impending judgment of the one that has the power to judge. And I speak it not as some weakling, but I speak it with every fiber that of strength that I can muster. That's why I talk loud, and I'm going to talk loud until I die. I'm going to go off. I'm going to abuse you because you abuse Yah. When you understand what the abuse is like, you'll stop abusing. Scripture says in 2 Chronicles 21:4. Now his wife was wicked, and the instigator. It says in 21:4, when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his Avad. Look at this. It says, now this is what the coward did. He strengthened himself and he slew some of his brothers. He slew all of his brothers with the sword, did he not? He slew all his brothers with the sword and others also, princes of Israel, of Yehuda. So everyone that he thought that would show him his weakness, he slew them. He killed them. He slew every one of his brothers. He destroyed them. Verse 6, I will remove down because I have much today. And scripture says, and he walked in the way, and he walked in the way of the kings of Israel. Like as did the house of Ahab, who was more wicked than Ahab. It was not a house like his house. The generation that are producers are more wicked than the one before them. He said, walked in the ways of Ahab, for he had the daughters of Ahab to wife. And he worked that which was evil in the eyes of Yahweh. Now, if you marry a Jezebel, what do you think you're going to produce? What do you think is coming forth? What do you think that Ahab, how do you think he raised them? You think he raised them in the virtues of Yah? He raised them in every defiance it was of the Torah of Yah. And they defied the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. So he was betrothed, he was married to those, and he did that, he worked that which was evil at the sight of Almighty Yahweh. Verse 11. It says, moreover, he made idol temples in the mountains of Yehuda, and he caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit zana, fornication, and he caused Yehuda to be led astray. Now, do you understand what he did? He caused them. He compelled them. He coerced them. Well, how could he do that? Well, when a nation has turned its sights away from the Most High, it doesn't take much to compel them. When one is not governed by the Mishnah or the Torah of Yah, when one's mind is not governed by the Torah of Yah, it did not take much for him to persuade them to begin this idolatrous, fornicating thing that produced whoredom in the land. And that is what has happened today. There's a foul nature in the land today. Man cannot adhere to the Torah of Yah. So they have joined themselves to every kind of strange Jezebelite spirit it is. Where are the men? Tell me. You can't find them. It's sad. No men to be found. That's why a man in this day is more precious than the gold of Ophrah. Do you all hear that? I know you don't hear it. I hear what I'm saying. There's nothing more precious in this hour than a man, that he may stand in the strength of Yah and declare from the mountaintop what thus saith Yahweh Almighty. So he joined himself unto daughters, women that were polluted. And he began to do that which is wicked and evil. He caused the high places to be built. And we have our high places, don't we? We build our own high places. High-minded, the air in our own arrogance and our haughtiness to defy what Yah says. That's the high-mindedness. That's the high-mindedness. Can I tell you something? Does Yah mean what he says when he says, Kabod, to honor him, to be your honor to be copious? Does he mean what he says when he says, wife, honor your husband? Does he mean what he says? He says, honor them that have rule over him. He means what he says. For they watch. For they watch for your soul and they must give an account. I don't care what this wicked generation says. You know, it's one thing about Yah. He says, my mind is my mind. He wants us to understand that nothing is going to deter his thoughts or the way he does things. Makes no difference whether you're with him or against him. It makes no difference at all. And so we built our high eminent places. Well, I just believe that what Jezebel, it doesn't make it right. Fool, that doesn't make it right. You think you're better? No, Yah says I'm better than you. It's not what I think, it's what Yah says. There are men that are better than other men. There are women that are better. I don't believe that lies. Hallelujah. Let me move to the 12th verse. I know you don't know because you don't study the book. If Yah says it in the book, is it truth? Okay then. Hallelujah. It says in verse 12, and there came a writing to him from Elijah, the Novi, the mighty man of Yah, saying, this is what Yahweh says unto you, my friend. He says unto you, Yehoram, the sovereign one, the ruler of thy wheat, your avat. He said, because you have walked in my ways, because you have not walked in my ways, you have not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, your avat, nor in the ways of Asa, king of Yehuda. But he did walk in the way of Ahab, did he not? He had not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat, who tore down the altars of Baal, who eradicated that spirit out of the house of Yah. This is the generation that builds the idols of lords in their minds because they lord. They say, no one is going to lord me. Listen, any time that you go past the Torah of Yah, you don't have enough fear what Yah teaches. You are a lord, and you are lord of your life. You're sent to hell with what Yah says. I'm the master of my destiny. You're a fool. You have one destiny, and that is hell. For the wicked shall do wickedly and shall not understand. But a Sadiq man, he understand both time, and he understand the judgment of Yah. That's why, listen, my friends, you pray if nothing else, Yah, make sure that there is a Sadiq, a righteous man among us. If there's no one but you, make sure that. Because a righteous, he discern time. A righteous man, he understand the judgment of Almighty Yah. This fool, did he understand the judgment of Yah? You think his wife understood the judgment of Yah? They were steeped in their Baal worship, in their own self-gratification. I don't like to use that word toward Yah, but they were gratified with their own putrefied stench. Their bellies were filled with their own idolatrous and their own the fornication. We must be pure to the pure. All things are pure. The word of Yah is pure to those that love Yah. Those that are unbelieving and defiled don't believe Yah. There's nothing pure. They were trying to give a reason for everything. There's no reason. Hallelujah. I'm not going to sin because you sin. You do something wicked, I'm not going to do it. You can be the fool all you want to. I'm not going to do it because you do it. Hallelujah. And I'm not going to sympathize with you either.
Yahweh is not mocked. I'm not going to mock Yah. Whatsoever man sowed, he reap it. You sow hell, you're going to reap it. You sow wicked Yahweh, you're going to reap that. I'm not going to mock Yah. Whatsoever man sowed, that shall he also reap. So what you're sowing, you're going to reap it. I said, you mother sow the Ruach, the Torah of Yah in the hearts of your children. When do I start? Now. They can't talk, so it now. The ground out there, you cannot sow summer seeds in there, but it's plowed, isn't it? Now seeds that we can sow now. And they will prepare the ground for the summer seeds. They will add to the soil certain kinds of nematodes, or certain kinds of additive measures to the soil. So now, for the summertime, you plowed in. You eat that, you plowed in. It adds to the soil. So you sow it now. And then the plow of correction plows it in. That little thing you call the rod, it puts it in them right. Hallelujah. Because that is what drives foolishness out. And Yah's going to rule with this. He's not going to rule with a rod, is he? We are fools that think he's going to rule any other way. Rod of iron. Because some of us need that, don't we? Fools. Oh, foolish Galusia. Hallelujah. I'm going to finish this today. That's all right. Hallelujah. I have the sword of the Ruach. I have it in my hand. Not only in my hand, but I have it in my inward parts. Hallelujah. I have it there. He says, when the Norby 21:12 came to him, he sent him a word unto him, because he had not walked in the ways of the men that were strong. I've always said to us, when I've seen men that had the strength of Yah, I wanted to follow their steps, even though I was ignorant. When I found a strong man, I want to be like that strong man. I want to walk in his ways. How did he get strong? How did he began to mature and he maturated to that point? This ignorant generation, it takes offense at that. A weak man will always take offense at one that is stronger. That's just the truth. A weak woman will always be offended at one that has a beauty that she doesn't possess. You all can sit here and not agree with me. It's just the truth. I see that in the natural. I remember when I belonged to what we call, quote, a gym. I will go to the gym, and because someone is in there benching 400 pounds, well, the man that couldn't bench but 75 pounds, he was offended. He was afraid to go in. He would not come in. They were afraid. That's the truth. And so they would secretly go places and see if they could do something to build up their strength. See, a man that knows what he did, that I can do it. He walks right in and he does 75 pounds. But a weak man, he will stand back. He will be intimidated. He's afraid. And that's the truth. Hallelujah. So he's a weak man. And this generation is full of weak men. No strong men. No women to be found. Daughters of Zion, that's what scripture says. That's why you prepare yourselves to be loved as Yahshua loved the assembly. Hallelujah. You must prepare yourself to be loved that way. You do that. It says in the next verse, he said, but you have walked in the ways of the king of Israel, and you have made Yehuda and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go Zanah, to go whoring, like the whoredom of the house of Ahab. Now, so if the house of Ahab was filled with whoredom, then the ones that he brought out of there for wives, were they filled with whoredom? Sure they were. He said, you've gone to whoring because these daughters have polluted your mind. You have not the Jehoshaphat. You fall after the principles of Ahab. And what king was as wicked as Ahab? Did he not do wicked in the sight of Yah, like no other king? Was he not a weak, effeminate man that he was weak and he did that what was wicked before Yah? When a man turned from the Torah of Yah, when he turned from the instructions of Yah, from the simplicity of Yah, he's a weak man. When a woman rejects that, she has no strength to catapult the man into any kind of dimension to trust Yah and to love him. So today you find very little love in Yah. Very few. He says, you have committed whoredom like the house of Ahab, and you have also slain your brother, the brothers of your Avat's house. Why? Which what? Well, what? Did that come out of the Nobi's mouth? Did it come out of the prophet's mouth? See, well, what is better than another? They were trying to slay one. That's why that Jezebel spirit daughters, come on, that's why that effeminate punk spirit men who caused you to slay a brother because they're better. He said you killed them because they were better. They had a better reward. Yeah, I will, my brother. They had a better standard than yours. They were more bright. Did the nobody say that? He's either telling the truth or he's a liar. Because they were better. And there are men that are better positioned than others. There are men that are better than others. Their character's better. Their attitude, that's the truth. I will, my brother. The daughters of Zion, their attitude is better. What they emanate is better. There's some that are even worth looking at. That's what the Nobby says. He said, you killed them because they were better. And that's what this wicked world does. They will kill one because they're better. Oh, the better is not because I got a PR card in shoes. That ain't worth a nickel worth a cat's dung. But the Ruach is better. Just like Cain and Abel. The gift of Abel was greater and better than the gift of Cain. And Yah accepted that. There are men that they are better in the spirit. They are better at the principles of Yah. Their daughters, that their submissiveness is better. He said they were better than you. They were better. Are there different degrees in the kingdom? Sure it is. Is there different level of ages here? Well, sure it is. His brothers were better. And they will enlighten him, or the light of their worth or their beauty will show him how wicked he was. So in order to show or to masculinize or make himself masculine and stronger, he was cowardly and had them killed. That's what cowards do. They will come to me. They will come to you. I said to the folks down there, because when I went down there to Atlanta, I reproved, I rebuke, I uprooted. You do that? Well, sure I do that. If there's one scripture that I didn't even know when I met Evangelist Hartsfield, he said to me, he looks at me one day, he said, Brother Roberts, I want to tell you something. He had God know me about what I don't know, but that's all right. He looks at me, he said, Brother, I want to tell you something. He said, open rebuke is better than secret love. And that's the way he would laugh. Well, I didn't ask him where it was. I went home, my sister, and I got my concordance. I remember open rebuke and better secret love. So I started with the secret. Yes, sir, my strong concordance. And I found it. When I found that, I say it is of the truth. Because it is written. Yah's not going to alter anything that he has written in the book. Hallelujah. Was that written by the hands of Eliah? And it came unto Yehoram. Did it not come? And he killed his brothers because they were better than him. He said, which were better than you. And that's what it says. Did he speak by the Ruach of Yah? He did not speak by the spirit of man. That's what Yah says. He said, they're better than him. Even though they should rule, but I put him there because of the wickedness of Israel. And I intend for him to leave them unto every kind of idolatrous worship it is. To commit fornication. This is the wrath. See, that's what this nation does, does it not? It feeds the nation her fornication, her idolatrous worship. This is a nation of self-worship. It worships one's own philosophies and one's own wickedness, doesn't it? It loves wickedness. It loves to worship what we call the stars. It loves one's own wickedness, their own defiance. It loves one's own lust and one's own greed. They esteem that higher than they esteem the Torah of Yah. They were better. I don't care what translation you read it out of. They're better. There are men that are better than other men. There are men that are weak. There are women that are weak. There are soft. There are women that are strong women. Hallelujah. And they hold fast to the Torah, the truth of Yah, and they will not alter it for not even themselves. That's the truth. So he had to remove them. And so one will have to remove the strength of one by diminishing him to him. They will try to break down his character to him because they're weak. And so what I say to him about him, you see, I've already told him. I've already said it to him. So what I say to him about him, I've already told him. And that's the way it should be. Hallelujah. So his brothers were better. They were better than him. The men that are better, I'd rather have one strong man than have 10
and weakly. And that's you. I will. Give me 10 men that have great strength and character. And 500 that are weak. And the principles of Yah are not applicable to them in their mind. They not follow them authoritatively. Give me the 10. I can build a kingdom with 10. That's the truth. There were 500 that are weak. Because when fear comes, they will flee. When it comes for time to stand and to take a stance, they will not stand. They will falter and they will fall. And that's the truth. That's why Evangelist Hartsfield said, I'm going to put him out because I'm not going to allow him to cause others to fall. Did this weak man cause others to falter? Sure he did. Sure he did. It says in the next verse, he said, Yah said, I want you to see, behold, with great plagues will Yahweh smite Nagath. He's going to smite your people. And look who he's going to smite. And your children. Your children now. Your children. I tell you, brothers, I warn you all. You all may not believe this, but has Yahweh changed? His ways have changed. He has not changed. He said, I'm going to smite your children. He's talking to Yahroham. He said, and your wives and some of the things that you possess. Everything. Everything. He said, I'm going to smite it. He said, and you shall have great sickness by disease in your bowels, your intestines, until the bowels fall out by reason of sickness day by day. He said, you will have no strength at all. And the diseases shall come upon the land. Now, even that speaks of a metaphor. We should have our loins girded about with what? See, when a man has not the power of truth in him, when his belly is not filled with the truth of Yah, he falls to the weakest of things. That's why we fall so easily. Because we have no intestinal fortitude. Is that? That's what it said. You that are played sports, do not tell you that. You got to have some intestinal fortitude. You got to have fortitude. You got to strengthen your gut. Isn't it amazing that when you get a little fear, that the first queasy that you feel is in your gut? In your intestines? So although this is an actual scenario, it also has a metaphoric, or it paints a picture for us to see, where a man, when one turns away from the principles of Yah, he has no strength in his loins. I don't care what you do, you got to have strength in your loins. I don't care what you do, you need strength in your loins. You got to have strength around here. If you don't have strength around here, that throws everything off. This can be hurting right here, but you need strength around here. Sure it can. You can have a headache, and I know you brothers have headaches, some of you all. You can have a headache, but if you don't have strength around here, you have nothing. It's something that you draw, as we said, we draw from the guts. I played sports all my life. Ever since I've known what sports were. And it was one thing that even though there were players that were better, sure they're better. But there was something I could draw from because I had to play against the better baller. And he made me better too because he was better. We play basketball out there. We have on our team, we have the old heads, older heads. Brother Dale, Deacon Ben, and myself. I'm the one that take the ball out every time. And there's a reason that I do that. Because Brother Dale is my first option. Can I shoot? I can drop the bomb out there like any brother. But I like that option first. Deacon Ben is my second option. He plays down low. Can I play down low like Deacon Ben? I can play as powerful down low as any man. And rebound with him. And that is the truth. But he is my second option. And so I have to work not as hard, but I have to work hard just to find me a shot to keep my confidence up. So is he better? Oh, sure, I consider him better. Is he better? Oh, yes, he's better. So it makes you less? Oh, sure it does. Sure it does. And because of that better play, it caused me to draw from the guts. And that's where you got to draw from it. That's what he was saying. He said, I'm going to cause your gut. I'm going to cause your fortitude, your energy to be exacted from you. And your guts, your intestines are going to drop out of your backside. You will have no strength. You won't be able to sit down because you're gutless. That's what they say. You're gutless. Do not they say that? You're gutless. It rings with the truth. It resonates with the truth because scripture says that. Because he was wicked. Because he had gone against what Yah commanded him.
He had brought elements into the house that corrupted him. If I allow certain things here, it will corrupt this whole place, whether you all believe that or not. But just, and I'm not going to allow it. I don't give a damn. And I said that way. Who you are, I don't care what you've given or what you can give. Doesn't mean nothing to me. I will not allow it here. Period. I'm not going to allow it. Because I know what it will do. Did he corrupt the whole house of Yahudah, Israel? Because he allowed certain things to come in. Well, it's all right to do that. Well, okay, build something over there, honey. That's all right to do it. Nobody knows. We just do it secretly. Your secret sins are going to be revealed. Hallelujah. Nobody will know. That's wicked, isn't it? That's not even a coward person. I hide nothing. I ain't got nothing to hide. Hallelujah. I sit over there sometimes, the blinds open at night, midnight. She clean in there. Well, if I had something to hide, I would close them. I don't have nothing to hide. Nothing. And what you hear is what's in this house. It is the truth, my brother. Hallelujah. And we'll not back down. And so he opened up the door to every kind of vile, wicked thing it was. And Yah says, I'm going to, your children, your wives, and all your goods. Verse 15, he says, and you shall have great sickness by disease, and your bowels and your intestines shall fall out by reason of the sickness day by day. Is that what it says, day by day? So what that metaphor shows us, even though this is true, it shows us that day by day you become weaker and weaker, weaker and weaker. Instead of getting stronger, you become weaker. You ever dealt with a situation you worried about? You know, this day you worried about and you sense the weakness. Well, the next day it becomes a little more intensified, you become a little weaker. And don't you feel it down there in your loins? And like, sure you do. You feel it right in there, don't you? Then the next day you become even more weaker. And then you come to the point whereby you're not even able to get up. You're not even able to get up out of the bed. You never experienced that. I have. And Sister Roberts came back from New York. I just got out of the military. And one morning, I went to her place. She was staying with her brothers to look for her. And she had gone back to New York. And all I could do was just lay in bed all day, every day. Each day, I just laid there by the telephone just hoping and praying she would just call. I was sick. I'm physically sick. I had nothing in my gut. It was weak. Couldn't eat. No strength. Just nothing. Nothing. Just hoping and hoping. Peradventure. And she called me. She put me through much. That's all right. I'll get you back for that one. Hallelujah. But there was a weakness there. And that's what he says is going to happen to your house. It's a weakness. It's a weakness among the people of Yah. Because we don't have the truth of Yah in our gut. We don't have the truth of Yah in our gut. Our loins gutted about. You gird this about. You protect your gut with Emat. What is truth? Well, it's Torah's truth, isn't it? That is what is truth. So you must protect the gut. And Yah says, because of your abominable ways, and because of your fornication, this idolatrous practice, because of your unfaithfulness unto Yah. When one is unfaithful, they will not do what one has been charged. That's what one is unfaithful is. And that is what the Zavna is. It is a fornication. It is one that is not faithful to the Torah, the judgments and the principles of Yah. They judge them after the seeing of the eye and not after the hearing of the word of Yah. Who wants an unfaithful husband? Which one of you women want that? Which one of you men want an unfaithful wife? No one wants that. Yah doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to be unfaithful. And our faithfulness, not only in the sense that we don't go out beyond our marriage to be entertained by one, but our faithfulness to the Torah of Yah for the Isha, for the wife, for the woman, and also for the Aki, the man, the brother. That's a Torah that Yah that gives unto the man, he must walk in the faithfulness of that. That's a Torah unto the daughters of Zion that they must walk in the Torah of that. And when you don't that, you when you don't do that, then you're unfaithful. Then you're committing what the Zalna, you're committing a spiritual idolatrous form of worship. You don't have to like it. It's still the truth. This word is going to cut. I intend for it to cut. I mean for it to cut. And I speak it to cut. And I want it to cut. And I will cut. Because his word is powerful and is sharp. And you that are wicked and your mind is steeped in wickedness, it's going to cut you. You men that are weak, it's going to cut you. You immature daughters of Zion, it's going to cut you. You that are better, it's going to cut you that you become better. Hallelujah. It's nothing like being faithful to one that loves Yah. That's why Shaul was so concerned with Timothy Yah. Because he was faithful to him. There's nothing like being faithful to the man of Yah. Just like Elijah and Elisha. He said, I don't care what you say, I'm going to stand by. I'm going to watch you until you're taken up. I don't care what happened. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand because I know you have the mantle of Yah. This is such an abominable, damnable generation. They can't even discern who has the mantle. Who has a mantle? They can't even discern it. That's sick. It's twisted. Because they're weak. He said, I'm going to cause your intestines to fall. Your strength. It shall go from it. When you feel weak, the first place you feel is in your belly. If you're walking or running or exercising, I don't care what you do, it's when that thing, if it doesn't have what it needs, you sense the weakness. The little tentacles there radiate to your brain and tells you, you are weak. Does it not? Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. He says it's going to cause your strength to be abated. This nation has no strength. It's a nation of fornication. That's the wine that you drink in this nation. That's why you got to come out of her. Her traditions. I said to one, well, he said to me, well, you know, my traditions in my country, we used to doing things this way. I said, your tradition has made void the word of Yah. It means I don't care what your traditions taught you. I don't care what your traditions teach. You don't superimpose your traditions on the true word of Yah. Yah tells you what to do. When a man leaves his father and mother's house, he goes to a wife, he cleaves unto her, and they become one. They become ikat. That doesn't leave room for your mom-in-law, your mama, your dad-in-law, your sister, your brother. It's that wife. So I don't care what your traditions taught you in your country. Wrong. Impose upon the principles of Yah. I said to the man, first, your traditions have made void the word of Yah, and that's why you have no strength, and he's a weak man. Sure he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to hear this. This is in the Apocrypha, but it is so sound that I must read it. Listen to it. It's in the book of Wisdom. Wisdom 14 and 12. Now, if you think it doesn't resonate with some immat truth, then say to me, Pastor Roberts, invalid. All right? I'll read what it says in Wisdom 14, verse 12. It says, for the idea of making idols was the beginning of fornication. When one began to produce idols, there is a fornicating or a zana, a spirit that is unfaithful. And so what the book of Wisdom says, when one began to make idols, when they began to create their own philosophy, their own concepts, their own thoughts in their bellies, it's because they become unfaithful unto Yah. I think that will stand. When one began to build their idols, I don't care whether it's their sons, their daughters, their wives, or their husband. When anyone supersedes, any instruction supersedes the instructions of Yah, then that has become idolatrous unto you. I don't care what it is. It's an idol. So the beginning, when one began to make idols, is because fornication, zana, is there. And the invention of them was the corruption of life. So when one makes idols, will that not corrupt them for life? Is that one corrupt? There are parents that have corrupted their sons and their daughters because they made them idols. I'll say it, son. There are parents that have corrupted their sons and their daughters because they have made them idols. They could never see their wrong. They could do no wrong. There was no correction. And then they got a damn fool what they got today. Even the wrong was honored. Even the wrong was looked upon. Well, I think that this resonates a character of truth here. I think it has a great revelation here. So they make them idols. Oh, my daughter, she's doing this. Oh, my son, he was smart. She was good in math and she did that. Oh, she was wonderful. She could read on this level. See the signs I have. I'm a proud parent of a child. I have no pride. I hate that word. That word I don't even have in my vocabulary. I do not use them. Period. And that is what I will not use to express anything of any character concerning me. I'd rather use I'm an ignorant man. Hallelujah. See, when I'm ignorant, Yah says he winks, not like the wicked men wink. He said, I pass. Now, here's the truth. Obey it. So when one began to make idols, they began to lift them up. And then what they do, it says the invention of them was the corruption of life. So the mom and daddy corrupt and the daughter's corrupt because she has no true value of what reality is or what the Torah of Yah is. For neither have they exist from the beginning, nor will they exist forever. An idol has no life in it. I don't care how much you idolize them. There are parents that will say, I idolize my son. I idolize my grandbaby. Like, that's what they say. You've never heard that expression? Oh, I've heard that. You've been around long enough, mama. You've heard that, right? Ella Mar, you next in line. You've been around long enough. You heard that? Brother Dave, you third. Have you ever heard that? All right, then. There are three witnesses. Now look upon them all and see if their witness have any character. Elder, you're the next in line. Have you ever heard that? That's four witnesses. Sister Horn, have you heard that? Okay, then that's five. Don't need no more, do we? All right. So they idolize them. They make them idols. They know what they mean. They're painting this image in their mind, these concepts and their thoughts. They see no wrong, do no wrong. Do no wrong, they can't be wrong. It's not of Yah. Foolishness is bound what the word says. And I believe that above all things. He says, for through the vanity of men, they enter the world. And therefore, their speedy end has been planned. Yah says, that's all right, you got them. But the end is going to come. He says, all vanity, and the end is going to be one of speediness. It's going to come. It's going to be a speedy end. And it certainly is going to come. It certainly. I watch them, they lift up their sons and daughters and they turn out just like what I was. Nothing. Oh, I'm nothing. I'm glad I'm nothing because he's everything. He's everything. What I have in me, that, as far as me, there's nothing that is dwelling me. It is the power of his immense that flows from me that is worth anything. His truth. Hallelujah. He's worth everything. My value is insignificant. He said the end of that is going to come just like he did with Yisrael, with Yehoram, when he rebelled against Yah, when he took the counsel of his wife instead of the counsel of the patriarchs before him from the scroll, from the Torah of Yah, to see how to bring Yehuda, Yisrael, in the direct alliance with Yah. You turn your mind away from the Torah, you go back to the Torah. You began to walk away from the principles of Yah. You go back to the Bereshit and see how I get this right. And the first thing is there's an examination of your loins, your heart, your inward parts. If someone says to me, I'll tell you what, I can shoot you right here or cut your belly. Shoot me. I'd rather take a shot than a cut. Because you're going to die. You may have a chance with that up here. That's the truth. If they say, I'll tell you what, I wouldn't even go there. If someone says, I'll tell you what, you either let me shoot you or let me take a knife and stick you in the gut. I say, if I got a choice, don't shoot me in the belly. Shoot me anywhere but the belly. And then I'd rather take the shot than the knife. That's the truth. Because when the knife is laid, that little wound is going to close up and you're going to die. There was a thief of the day that went in the store, robbed the store. Made out with the money. When he got outside, he put the gun and he shot him in his groin. Boom! And he lays there withering and he dies right there. Robbed the store, put the gun there, boom, and then it kills him. Takes him out of the world. And that's why the enemy goes for the belly, for the loins first. That's why it must be good because that's the most sensitive part. That's where the vitals are. That's where the kidney and all the vitals are there. That's what the vital organs are. That's why it must be girded. It must be protected by emat. You must have the truth of Yah in your gut. That's what you must have. Not these falsifies, Pharisees, and fantasizing the word of Yah. You can't have that. Must be the emat of Yah. His truth. Your loins girt with his truth. That's your protection. The truth of Yah. It's a generation of idols and making idols. Once one began to make idols, you know that there is an unclean, abominable, vile, unfaithful spirit there. Can I tell you, brothers, I don't care whether you spend more time or you spend time on videos and no time with wife and youngins. You wife, you got time for every sister, but no time for husband. Something is twisted in your damn twisted mind. You made that an idol. You can talk to everybody, but you can't talk to him. You can be sweet to some Jezebel. You can't be sweet to her. You're a twisted mind. You can pull a door open for some slut in the street. And I use the word slut. There was a man who used the word slut. And they reproved him. And he had to apologize. Well, the little gals out there having babies like dogs, they're sluts. You know something is wrong. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can't talk. Can't entertain. Energy for everything within. You get quiet, but that's all right. I like that. Hallelujah. The axe, as Evangel Horn would say, the battle axe is laid to the root of the tree. That's why I tend to get to the roots. See, the root of the evil is in your own heart. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't love me. Your love doesn't mean a nickel with a hog's poop. Because you don't know how to love. You don't know how to love your husband. You don't know how to love your children. You don't know how to love anyone. What do I care about you loving me? I don't even want your damnable, twisted love. I'd rather have Hannah's love. Hallelujah. When she looks at me. Ah, Brother Lindsay. She's pretty as he is handsome. I told her one day, you're not as handsome as pretty as he is handsome, but she's getting there. Hallelujah. I'd rather have her love. Hallelujah. Sure I would. Not yours. It's an innocent. It's pure. You can sense it. She'll look at me sometimes and you can sense the genuine care. She will look at the tears flowing you. She sensed that. And then they begin to flow from her little eyes. Ah, that's all right. I like that. That's reality for me. Hallelujah.